is. Okay, so we are continuing through with our series. This is going to be a brief message this morning. We're working through Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God. And so I want to point something out today, just in 10, 12 minutes here, that Paul makes as we talk about a phrase. We've talked through the armor of God, talking about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, but I want to back up to address something. Let's read again Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14, nice and loud together. As we read it, you know, we're cementing it in our minds, in our ears, we're speaking down into our hearts. As always, we put the words on the screen, but like Susan said, we encourage you to bring your Bible so you can make notes as you go along. But let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Now, I've bolded that word "stand firm." Anytime we say it, we have to say it like we were actually standing firm, okay? So let's continue on here. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Stand firm, therefore. And then he goes and he talks about the armor, right? Now, we're going to point something out here. Point out the semi-obvious is that three times in those verses, Paul instructs us to stand firm, but he tells us to do that before we put on the armor. Now, how many of you think, in order to stand firm, I have to put on the armor? Sure, okay. Oh, I never thought of it that way. But Paul tells us clearly, stand firm and then put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and all these other things, okay? So, I'm going to revert back to my days when I was in law enforcement and I was a tactical instructor and all those things and make these analogies. Paul's making very specific points here, using terms of combat and using terms of warfare and a warrior because of our fight against the enemy. And Paul is telling us in these scriptures how to have an advantage over the enemy, Satan, right? You have an enemy in this world. As much as God loves you, you have an enemy in this world, Satan, who hates you, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy every good thing in your life. And he is active, he's on the move, and he is relentless in his assaults against you. So let me ask you a question. How many of you want an advantage over Satan? Okay. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what that advantage is. But to do that, I'm going to revert back to and give you the physical illustration of what we call is a ready stance. Okay, Paul says stand firm. Now, can I have a volunteer? Duffy, come on up, buddy. Awesome. This is going to be perfect. What's that? Time will tell. Okay, so I spent a lot of years... Yeah, give Duffy a round of applause here. You just wanted to show off that shirt, right? We're like brothers or something, you know? One of us is good looking, one of us is not, so... All right, so I would talk about the very first thing as an officer I would talk about is like how to, in defending yourself and being ready to go on the offensive if need be, is a ready stance. Everybody say ready stance. You think, well, it's just standard, you know, and again, I talk about, you know, not having your hands in your pockets, right, or whatever, but I want to show you about how to actually stand so that you are at your most stable, strongest platform, and because when you're in combat, when you're in warfare, you want to be at your strongest and make the enemy at his weakest. Does that make sense? Okay, so Duff, this is perfect because you're nice, you're a big strapping, you used to like power lift and still do a lot of weightlifting, so Duff's a big, strong guy, all right? So, I want to show you something. I want you to, you can face them, all right? I want you to put your feet together. Right next to together. Okay, great. Now put your arms out to the side, straight out like a T, and make a fist at the end there. Now, how much effort do you think it's going to take for me to move him? Right? Your object is to not fall over, and you can't move your feet. All right? Does that take much effort at all? No, because it's a poor ready stance, right? Why? Because he's not stable, all right? We talk about center of gravity. We talk about where your center is. Your center is right above your, right below your navel there, right? It's where, you know, again, I ask this question, you know, you ever open a new jar of pickles? What does that look like? Show me. Everybody's like this, right in here. Yeah, like, Paul's like, yeah, right in here. Why? Nobody opens a jar of pickles out here. Why? Because you're not stronger. You're stronger. The closer you get to your center, the stronger you are. So your platform all resonates off that. You want to be stable and strong because you don't want to be, right? So Paul's telling us, stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. Don't give the way you carry yourself could give the enemy an advantage over you, which requires very little effort to move you off your center. And, you know, again, the object in a fight is to stay up. You want the other guy on the ground. You don't want to be on the ground, right? Okay, unless you're wrestling, which is a whole different thing, but you always want the high ground. All right, so we see how that ready stance is no good. So let's try an actual ready stance. Now, so feet shoulder-width apart, roughly. Okay, you got big shoulders, so it's good. All right. Are you right-handed or left-handed? Right-handed. So, okay, I want you to take your right foot and just blade it back about a couple inches. Okay. Yeah. Now, again, ready stances are not some, Neo in the Matrix kind of thing going on here. You know, again, that's a little obvious. So you just want to be natural. You know, like kind of like what I am here. You know, now again, you got big. So that's good. All right. So one side bladed away. So what does that do? It gives them stability this way and this way. Knees slightly bent. Knees not locked. Right. Military guys, you don't lock your knees. Otherwise, what happens? You fall over. All right. Okay. Pass out. All right. Now what I want you to do is put your arms out again. But I want you to bend this elbow here, like almost like a. Don't be so tense now. Come on. You don't have to show off or flex for me. There you go. Right like that. Okay? Now, how much effort do you think it's going to take for me to move him? Well, I can try this. That's not working. He still didn't move, right? Good ready stance. Why? Okay, because God has designed our body in a unique way. Straight lines and, laws of physics, straight lines conduct force and all that stuff. When you take a straight line out, all the energy translates out here, okay? So I can push on that pretty much all day long, and I'm not going to move him because he's a big, strong guy, right? Now, that works. It doesn't matter whether it's Duffy or anybody. Even like I had my sister-in-law come up here, it would be the same thing. You know, she's like an eighth of his size, and it would be the same thing. I could push on this, and it's not going to move. Why? Ready stance has everything to do with it. Get that? Got that visual picture? How many of you want to try it right where you're sitting? Never mind. Thanks, buddy. Go ahead. All right. That's what a good ready stance looks like. A good ready stance is one that is ready to absorb an impact, incidental or intentional, to take that and not get blown to pieces and fall over. Does that make sense? All right, so Paul is saying, stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. Well, how do we stand firm? What is that? What goes into that? Okay, so we can make the analogies here. Stand firm, eyes up, eyes alert. All right, we're not looking down, we're not stuck in our phones. As an officer, we're out, always on the alert. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Right? Again, Peter's reiterating the same thing. Be grounded. Have your eyes on Jesus. Keep that. Keep your vision focused, because if you take your eyes off Jesus, you get distracted, you're going to get wiped out. You're not even going to see it coming. The enemy's watching for you. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. Next, we have our feet grounded, feet secure. How do we do that? Read with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. I don't know why I get this visual. I was like, no longer by children, tossed about. You're like, we're just taking kids. I'm like, wee! Like throwing dwarves in Lord of the Rings. Like, toss me! Right? No, but, kids are smaller. They're little. I won't embarrass my daughter about how doppy she is with some things, but we want to be strong. We want to be stable. We want to be secure. And what's the point of all that? We grow up. And that's why I love that we get to share this today on a day when we talk about membership and people taking the next step in their maturity. How do we do that? Through the Word of God. Right? We have to keep our feet grounded in God's Word. That is the life. That is the light to our path. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His eternal principles are the ones that carry us through, right? They've established the universe. They maintain it to this day. So we ground ourselves in God's Word. Folks, if we're getting all our information about how we are to respond to the events of life from Fox News or CNN or Facebook or Twitter, we're going to be unstable. Go to God's Word. I'm not saying that you can't, But God's word tells us how we are to respond to things, how we are to ground ourselves, how our roots are going into the earth. Okay, ground ourselves in the word of God, feet grounded, and then we want to be flexible but not breakable. Again, you know, I had Duff. You know, he made that. You know, which gave him an opportunity to kind of flex it out a little bit. But you know, he put that out. All right, he's not rigid. He's flexible but not breakable. Let's read it. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Right? Again, we have to understand, we have to work in this, understand that the church in the West here in 2021, right, lives in stark contrast to the vast majority of God's people down throughout the years. You read through the scriptures, you read his word, you see most times they are living under duress, they are living in with open hostility and opposition. It is tough being a Christian. And especially when Paul's writing this stuff, you know, I mean, Christians were being fed to the lions, into the gladiator games, all that stuff, right, is happening. The Western church lives one that is high on the hog, so to speak, in luxury and in blessing. Don't think that that's the rule. It's not. It's the exception. Okay, God has blessed the United States for a season and for a specific reason. I'm telling you, though, that before the end comes, it's going to get a lot worse even here. So we have to understand that part of being a Christian, following, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, is to take up your cross, carry it, endure suffering just as he did. You're going to face, if you're doing it right, in essence, you are going to face opposition. Jesus was the living epitome of love and grace and mercy and truth, and it got him killed. They hated him for it. The world hated him for it. Why? Because of the enemy who is in the world, who drives all those things, and Satan hates God, hates that plan, and so he worked in people to disrupt and to ultimately to kill Jesus. Now, God got the last laugh. He used it, and it was part of the plan to bring Jesus back to life. But understand that if we identify with Christ, we're going to identify with him, we're going to suffer too. You're going to face opposition, you're going to face criticism, you're going to face a lot of stuff, financial repercussions, relational, all that stuff is coming. Well, thanks for the good news, Cliff. I feel really encouraged by that. All right? No, we have to understand, you're going to take those hits, you're going to take that impact, but because your eyes are on Jesus, because your feet are grounded, I will not be moved. Be prepared for opposition. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, you know, who does not want to be ignorant of Satan's schemes, right? Okay, we want the advantage over Satan. We don't want Satan to have an advantage over us. Paul says, so that, okay, well, so that means we have to go back a few verses to figure out what's he talking about. What's the key, Paul says, to not being taken off our center, to having that good, firm, ready stand so that we can stand firm. What's the source of it? We read it in a few verses ahead of time, before this. Read it with me. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For who? Nope. It's a small h, not a capital H. Does anybody know what he's talking about here? Your brother, the guy that they kicked out of the church. Right? 1 Corinthians addresses the fact that there was sin in the church and then it had to be addressed. Okay? Now, Paul says that the guy's repented, reaffirm your love for him. For to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things, but one whom you forgive. Let's say that again. But one whom you forgive, I forgive also. Somebody's excited. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying that the ready stance for the believer is an attitude that is quick to forgive. Ooh, it got really quiet. is an attitude of forgiveness. It is understanding how much that we have been forgiven before him, and therefore we are to forgive others. And that's where we get stuck, isn't it? Yeah, but God. There isn't a yeah, but. Now, I'll be okay. There is a difference between forgiveness and trust. Okay? There are consequences for human behavior that result in a loss of trust, which can sometimes result in a loss of a relationship. And I understand that. And that's the way it has to be. But we are talking about the attitude of forgiveness, of not carrying bitterness, not carrying resentment, not carrying judgmentalism that thinks, well, I'm better than so-and-so, and what they did is worse than anything I've ever done. Not in God's eyes, it's not. Sin is a sin is a sin. That's right, Steve. So, the ready stance, one that absorbs the hits from this life, because in this life, we deal with fallen people who do fallen things to themselves and to each other. Hurt people hurt people. And sometimes we're the recipients of that. We take that hit, but we don't get knocked off our center. We don't fall down. We stand there, we absorb it because we are quick to forgive. And that keeps from giving the enemy, Satan, an advantage over us to work in our lives, to work in our hearts, to work in our minds, to corrupt and twist and separate us from God. Being rigid and inflexible. Inflexible, I'll fix it, is the first step to falling down and giving Satan an advantage. And folks, I had no idea, the Holy Spirit works, right? We started this series 3 weeks ago. I had no idea that we would come back to this. I'm studying the scriptures and it's like, okay, God, what does your word say? And it came back to forgiveness and I was like, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Stand firm by being quick to forgive. Read with me, if you would, Luke 23. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning, as we come to the Lord's Supper and celebrate communion, it is good to remember Jesus hung on a cross, naked, for everything that you or I have ever done to separate ourselves from him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so an attitude of forgiveness towards other people is to understand they don't know what they're doing. Most, 99.9% of the time, people are ignorant of what they do and how they're hurting other people. So we are quick to forgive because we want to be forgiven before God. And if Jesus could hang on a cross and forgive you for your stuff, then you can forgive somebody else for the stuff they do to you. Don't let Satan take advantage of you.